This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. Berna agus fáilte.
I agree. I concur. English.
You concur.
I don't concur. You said English and welcome.
Yeah.
Berna agus fáilte.
People say Gaeilge agus fáilte. In other words, if you have the cúpla focal, they have it in shops.
Oh, I get you.
Talk to us. I was in Mayo.
Oh, did you go to Lisburg?
I went to the homeland.
Go on.
You were saying you were going back up there.
Yeah.
Old head.
No, out to... Now, we say Runa, because we're not from there. They say Runa, which is the pier to Clare Island.
Yeah.
So, into Lewisburg, take a left, and then head for Emla, and head down a road in Emla, and keep going till you see the Roscommon Reg parked outside the holiday home.
It's lovely down there, isn't it?
And that's where we were. And that's so... It's the Tiernan homeland. It's where generations after generation of Tiernan lived in a farm. That goes down, it goes right down to the sea.
Beautiful.
And I was wondering where I got my love for Galway Bay. It's because the farm in Mayo was so close to the sea.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And the Mealra Mountains in mm-hmm. the distance to
Mealra.
The left.
Mealra. How do we pronounce it? Mealra.
Mealra. Yeah. But the great storytellers, the Tiernans. There's a blast of them there all yapping. And I'll tell you now about that man. And I'll tell you what happened. And the night of the big wind, the roof get blown off and this and that and on. But the most interesting story was how the Tiernans ended up in Mayo.
Okay.
And this is pure fact. If I ever did Who Do You Think You Want to Be?
This
would be in it.
There's no point in you doing it, you know already.
So the Tiernans is actually from South Armagh. So South Armagh, you know, is...
So they were on the run, basically.
Would you fucking slow down with that judgmental Mayo parochial Catholic...
Where else you haven't to go? You haven't go to the butt the end of Mayo and no one will ever find
snide them. Comment.
It's fucking snide.
Sniper.
Nobody
sniper.
Will ever find them.
The sniper blew it.
Snidey is a town in Mayo.
Just listen, let's...
Between Swinford and fucking Foxford. So South Armagh, which would be... I mean, that's Gullion. Mount Gullion. Sleeve Gullion, wherever the... You know,
Gullion, yeah. Gullion country.
Yeah.
In the same way Carlow would be. Scallions.
Scallion country.
What's Mayo?
Fucking shit.
Oh, 2 seconds ago you were only professing your love.
I didn't say that. He just said
that. Yeah, just for clarification, that was Tommy that said that.
So, the Tiernan started off in, we were a South Armagh family. And this is pure fact. This is written on the back of the family crest. In the blood of an English soldier.
Okay.
This is what happened to the Tiernans. There was a Mrs. Tiernan and she was pregnant and she didn't get a kick off a soldier's horse. South Armagh. And didn't the Mr. Tiernan grab the soldier off the horse and bait him and the horse to near death. That man was hung in South Armagh. That was Tiernan boy.
What was his name?
He was some
Pat Tiernan.
Tom.
Tom, it should be.
That's Tom.
Must be Tom.
Tom Tiernan. That's Tom Tiernan Senior. Your great, great, great grandfather.
I was going way back even before that. Before there was even grandfathers. There was just...
This is the 17th century.
Oh, well, before that, I'd say.
Fuck's sake, could you imagine the
1300s, 1400s, maybe. When was Cromwell here?
Oh,
12. Not the Cromwells from the front of the Triton. Not,
who was the good-looking girl?
Susan Cromwell.
Oh, Susan Cromwell. Oh, my.
And we never... Isn't it amazing?
Susan Cromwell.
We lived next door to Cromwell's and the penny never dropped that they could have been related to the great oppressor.
I am the great oppressor.
The Tiernan, Tom Tiernan, the ancient, grabbed the English soldier, bet him to near death.
He
bet the horse to near death as well.
Slapped the horse around the place.
And bet any horse who looked at him. He was baiting horse. Anyway, he was hung by the oppressor, by the Cromwell soldiers. Right. Hung. Mm-hmm. And the Mrs. Tiernan was evicted from the house in South Armagh. And she walked... She had four sons. She walked.
All called Tom.
What?
Tom Junior.
Yes.
Tom Sheen.
Tom.
Do I ever slag
Tom Thomas
one, two,
and Tommy?
Three and four.
It has to be Tommy and it has to be a Tiernan.
Yeah, Tom.
Were they all Tiernans?
One,
yeah?
Two, three. Tom, fourth. Yeah, go
on. What's wrong with you? What is?
Go on, will you tell the story?
I'm fucking trying to tell it, but you keep interrupting it with fucking snide, shallow remarks.
She took the kids out of the bed one night in the lean-to, didn't she?
And what? She was evicted, Hector. She was out in the road.
And did she say to the kid...
She was out in the road and there wasn't even roads.
She had to make
trails.
She was thrown into the ditch. So she walked from South Armagh, maybe stayed a night or two in Leitrim. But she walked to Mayo, to the Dua Mount, the Dua Valley.
It's an awful wonder. I always wonder about these people. Why didn't stop
fucking
when they
Celtic
got
fucking
inside?
Folklore here, is it?
Yeah.
She walked for day and night.
No, I tell a lie. There was a bus. There was a go bus.
She took the go bus.
She took the gone bus.
She took the air coach between Ballinafood.
She walked. That's what people did in the fucking 1500s. They walked.
Yeah, but where did she stay and how did she survive?
I don't know.
Did she cook by the river and pick berries?
Well, he didn't get her full Bible of her history.
They didn't go through the journey day by day, Hector. It was over a cup of tea.
Yeah, but it sounds... Make it more fucking dramatic. She walked day and night through winter.
I tell you what, when I finished doing my version of it, why don't you have a crack at it?
I have a question for you.
So go on. No,
where did she shelter?
There's no question.
But isn't it fascinating to understand?
It would be if we get to the end of the story.
This woman left South Armagh. She walked through Cavan and probably...
She went towards Leitrim.
And then she went to Sligo and she said, nah, I'm not staying here. Don't like it. Did she know where Mayo was, like, in the 1300s? Like, was there a big sign, welcome to Mayo?
Well, I tell you one thing. If Colin O'Rourke had been teaching her geography in school, she would have known where it was.
And then she
would have known what
she would have known exactly where she was going.
What the Escaria there was.
And look at those stratocumulus and nimbleth over the Croke Patrick.
Name the three major industries in Belgium.
And today we're going to talk about Thurlocks and Cronogs. That's a Thurlock. So. This is great now.
So
she got to the mountain.
She walked through Ballina. She walked up through Castlebar. Then she went to Westport.
So maybe she was... Now, so Cromwell's forces would have been all over the country in that stage. So she might have been on the run. So the Dua Valley might have been a good place to hide out. Because there mightn't have been that many soldiers traipsing around it.
Yeah, but like she went on the run, but she walked through a million towns and villages before she got there.
She was a good... Yvonne was her name. Yvonne Tiernan.
She was a good walker.
Tommy,
So she got to the Dua Valley with the four boys, four sons, all called Tom. And she eventually married another man. But she insisted that the four boys... In honour of their father.
Wear the father's pants.
Keep the Tiernan
I was going
surname.
To say, because he could have been wiped out.
And that's how the Tiernans arrived.
Jesus
in
Christ.
Now.
Armoured cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But we will always stand behind
the man behind the wire. Who was
a great story.
So you're pure Mayo, like you're 100%. Well,
well, no,
you're not.
I'm originally South Armagh, but I would have always sensed that about myself. Anyway.
Who
when you, a bandit?
So yeah. when the car arrived up to this area, Tommy, who was at the house when you pulled in, how many cars were outside it and who was in the kitchen.
No interest in telling you
I
things.
Want to know how many Tiernans, who was giving you the details? Who, did you sit in for a cup of tea?
I sat in for tea.
And apple tart.
Apple tart.
And who was there?
Just a gathering of Tiernans.
But how many of them?
Doesn't matter.
I met a Tiernan in Ballinrobe this week.
And did anyone give you the wild eye going, here he is? Uh-huh.
You're after details that I don't find interesting.
Oh, Jesus. I want to know how many...
I told you all the best bits of the story.
Was your father in there?
No, he was.
Was he proud of his son had in there listened to the stories?
I don't know. What did you do?
And how long did you stay in there, Tommy?
I was there for...
Did you go for a pint?
No.
More importantly.
The father went in for a sneaky pint into Lewisburg. I was there for the afternoon, and then we went down to the, so that we're in the holiday home looking onto the farm and the mountains and the sea, then down to the farm.
Is any farm in the land?
Well, there's three of them, four of them there now.
If they live on the farm, why do they live in a holiday home?
What happened is that they, some of the relations are living in Castlebar and some of them are living in Lewisburg, but they wanted to have some sort of foot still in the parish of Embla. So they bought the holiday home, and that means that the holiday home now is wide open for their first cousins, who'd be my father, to use whenever they want. See, when my father was a gossin, Before he worked for Chagas, he would go to Embla on the summer holidays.
He would
go to Embla on the summer holidays and he'd spend the whole summer riding horses across ditches.
Jesus, he was like into the west.
Oh, that's a potato.
Tommy, did you feel a lot of love in the kitchen when you were there?
You are so uninteresting.
Was there a lot of tearing in love? We'll see a documentary on about this next week. Tommy Tiernan walks fucking back.
Oh my God, you should walk from South Armagh to fucking Embla.
I'm just after thinking about it. Isn't that the route that St. Patrick took?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't St. Patrick walk?
Tiernan. He walked from South Armagh.
To make Croagh-Patrick. Yes. Under the foot of Lewisburg. Oh my Jesus.
Oh my God.
Am I St. Patrick?
You're a monster named St. Patrick. Now,
hey, I was coming
was
in.
St. Patrick riding snakes. My great grandmother.
I was driving in.
Maybe that's who she got married to.
I came in the
tube. She insisted then on calling
Tiernans. Yeah. Anyway, isn't it?
What was St. Patrick's surname?
He was a
Cummiskey.
No, he wasn't. He was Welsh.
No.
Morgan. Pat Morgan. But I thought it was a lovely afternoon.
To go back to the land.
Yeah, it was lovely.
That's
great.
Nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Keeping you grounded and kept you in the. Yeah.
I open my eyes an awful lot when I'm driving, and I'm open to.
You're still waving to people.
What I've started doing
like
now,
like a brand new Jehovah's Witness.
What I've started doing a lot of in the.
A brand new Jehovah's.
I acknowledge people now on the street all the time. I'm going for the old nod, smile, acknowledge, and it's mad. Most people will acknowledge back, and I'm looking for that little. How are you? How's it going? Hiya.
Must be exhausted when you get home, right?
No, he's winking at everyone.
If I'm up at the pitch and I'm doing a walk or something, or I'm on my walk around the pitch or I'm up doing something.
Oh, this time last year he was running.
10K.
I will acknowledge that.
You've got the mobility scooter next year. Waving to people.
You know I did 35 days of 10,000 plus. I did 35 days of 10,000 plus. And some days I do 70.
Are they tablets?
I do... The magnesium.
Vitamin tablets.
The magnesium tablets.
Are these the statistics that give your life meaning?
Do you know what I decided to do from the
time? I did 35 days, 1,000 plus. And then
that's 350,000 steps.
They're clear the numbers there. Now look at them. I wonder if there's any way of logging it. If I change phone, would I be able to hang on to the
statistics? Then my app tells me I'm 69, 98% fitter than I'm active, more active than daily.
And what difference did it make?
Oh, yeah. I just dropped a few kilos because I tightened
kilos
up.
Kilos?
I'm
just walking.
Yeah, I tightened up the body for the holiday. That's what I was doing. But anyway, that's another project. Yeah. You're not interested
in
that.
Why were you in the football shorts and the no tops?
You wanted to keep Clive interested.
Yeah. You saw Clive last week.
I wanted to keep Clive. Clive FaceTimed us the other day when we were in the car.
I did, yeah.
From under a bonnet of a car.
And then when he finished the phone call and left the car, he ran.
And then he
went, oh, Loretta, hello.
I told him he looked like Pierce Brosnan.
He does. He's a good looking man. Good looking man.
I couldn't get over it. That's not how you had him described.
That's what kept Hector going for the 10,000 steps. Looking back on your life.
You can't just jump into the questions. It's not organic.
Is there anything that you'd wished that you'd done less of?
But you're... Oh, you always ask questions that are too complicated to answer. Because that's, how do you know that if it's what you did? Would you not say, is there anything that you wish you did more of, not less of?
What the fucking difference is that?
Because the stuff you did more of, you enjoyed as you went along. And then you missed out on other things, maybe.
Is there anything that you'd wished you'd done less of? Is there any? Not really.
Maybe
shifting.
Less shifting.
Maybe, yeah. I did a lot of shifting.
And why would you want to have done less of
it? I don't know. Sure. I didn't learn much after the first few and then just
became an old habit after
that. It's like a habit.
Well, obviously, so
but you must have gotten good at it.
That's like practice makes perfect, doesn't it? Yeah.
So would you consider yourself a good shifter?
Yeah, good shifter.
Were you
yeah.
a good kisser?
Oh, yeah.
Or are you a good
practice,
kisser?
Practice. What
are the elements of shifting?
How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice.
Sucking cock. What is
the component there?
What is shifting? What is a shift?
It's a
munge.
Yeah.
And a munge.
And what's a munge?
A munge is just a kind of...
A quick little tongue, is it?
No, a munge would be fairly... Now, there mightn't be much nudity. A munge isn't sex.
No, neither is shifting.
And a munge isn't... it might be a bit of groping.
A bit of feeling.
Groping sounds a bit
bit
much.
Of pulling and feeling.
Groping sounds a bit inappropriate and something that's not welcome.
That munge word never was
just
in the
just a bit of shifting.
The shift. Yeah. The shift. A good up a against good the wall. Shift, a good yeah. shift.
Good shift.
A good yeah. strong kiss with tongues.
And it could be a good one or a bad one. It could be a good shift or a bad shift, but
yeah,
just
so you think if I should have done less shifting because it became boring and repetitive after a while.
Ah no, well no, but it was good crack, like I suppose.
Well then,
yeah, so I probably don't regret that. Yeah.
Do we shift as much now as we like kissing and all that crack?
Yeah, young
ones
are shifting.
I would often say to the missus when she'd come up behind me and throw me up against the fridge or something. And,
yeah, or into it.
Do you know what I mean?
Push you against the fridge when you go for the Philadelphia.
I would just say sometimes it's nice to be held.
My hand.
Sometimes it's just nice to be held, and I would have to say to her. I said in couples therapy, I would say. It's important to learn about touch again and just
all
to
right.
touch one another.
God, you're so sensitive. And
for not to lead anything.
Remarkably romantic.
Like, I just say, sweetheart, I know you have, you're a very sexy lady and you have the normal appetites of a woman of your particular description.
Excuse me?
I didn't
but sometimes I just like to be held with
yes,
without the threat of
are
sex,
you a woman?
Without the threat of sex looming behind
are
it.
You a woman?
I'm just asking, can a man not express those feelings?
No, you sound more, that sounds more that's
like something that Yvonne would say to
yes,
me.
Yes, that's a bit more in reverse.
Now you're getting the twist.
Yeah, like, yeah, like, yeah, I understand that.
Is there anything you've done less of? Like, tell me, what's coming into your head with that?
Well, I just wonder, do I wish I'd done less drugs? Do I wish I'd done less work? Do I wish?
I mean, you hardly did a lot of work, so I mean, that's hardly something that could. I mean, that's hardly
it's
something
just,
that's been weighing on
it's
your
really
mind.
Sorry.
Whose hen house are we sitting in?
Well, now work.
Did I do enough work to get a hen
no,
house?
No, I mean, like, you didn't do much physical work, like.
I fucking mowed the lawn yesterday and it was hard going.
Well, yeah. I was wondering who did it and left half the grass mulched up on the ground, like. Well, I knew it wasn't a proper gardener.
You didn't
did
mow the lawn yesterday.
I did, and it was hard going because there was so much rain that the ground.
Who mows the grass in and it's raining for
it's
the last
boggy.
Week?
I yeah. had to mow it because it's only 3 foot long.
And where's the normal man that comes in who's been doing it for years?
Cutbacks.
Cutbacks.
Where is
cutbacks.
He?
Could you not have bought a tractor lawnmower for that? That's not suitable for a hand pushed
exactly.
lawnmower.
That's what I did. So I did manual work yesterday.
So you used a tractor lawnmower?
No, I used a push mower.
It's ridiculous.
How many?
It took about 2 hours to.
Why don't you get a robotic one?
Oh, fuck off.
It'll be all day working.
Yeah. Where do you dump your excess grass?
On the ground. Sure, did you not? Well,
there was a few splatters.
Half of his on his shoes.
There's
nothing
few
worse.
Of it, that's all.
There's nothing
splatters.
Worse than mowing the lawn and looking behind and a trail of wet grass behind you.
And
wrong.
It's all
it's
over
wrong.
My
it's
shoes
wrong.
Now, yeah. What's the worst decision that you've ever made? Now, that's kind of a bit like yours, things that you probably wish you didn't do. But
the worst decision,
decision
I ever made,
yeah.
I went into a head shop in Donegal 13 years ago and bought 6 grams of herbal cocaine and 12 herbal ecstasy tablets and I took them all in the one night. That was the worst decision I ever made. I was running around like a fucking werewolf through the woods.
But did you not sleep for days?
It took me Took them on a Friday night. I didn't get to sleep until 6 o'clock Monday morning.
Did you think you were going to die?
I thought I was insane. I was insane for a while. That was the worst. We thought we could walk into a fucking shop on High Street like it was a chemist and go 6 grams of cocaine, please.
And 12
tablets, yeah.
And it was far from cocaine.
What the fuck it was? I don't know. It was
synthetic fucking washing powder caffeine. From China.
Agitating.
Yeah. It was agitated.
Horrible. That's the worst decision I've ever made.
What about you, Hector?
I get into a car in Bilbao. We were up all night partying with two lads from England. And about 7 in the morning, I don't know why we did it. They had a madhouse in the middle of a place called Algorta. There was acid involved. Strawberries or something.
And?
Used to head over to this house in Bilbao. The boys, they would always be up late. There was a guy called Richard and a guy called John, and there were two English lads that had lived in Spain for years, Bilbao, teaching English. And
Bill Bailey's good.
And
Bill Bailey's very good. And he came first or second in the celebrity come dancing thing.
He didn't, did he?
He did, yeah. And he's doing shows now about birds and horticulture.
So they were in once you're teaching English for a few years and you decide to stay longer, you started becoming real part of the furniture in the places. And Bilbao is a fairly hopping town. You could do anything you want. It's a party town. But anyway,
is it the size of Limerick now or Cork or something?
Yeah, and Bilbao was. There was a huge, yeah, about
party scene.
Yeah, party scene. But about it was the late 90s. No, it was the early 90s. Yeah, 91, yeah. 92, 93, 94. But these two boys, you could always be guaranteed the light would be on at 4 or 5 in the morning. And nothing stops in Spain over in Bilbao. And everyone gets going at 1 o'clock in the morning. You can be in your house having beer, then you go out in the street. And the Basques like to party. But anyway, I went over to this house one night, took some acid, strawberries, small little fucking. Just cut them up like an academy pad. They were there in front of you. It's the size of a miniature postage stamp. I don't know what happened. I don't know where.
Now, what do you reckon was in you before you took the strawberry?
I was out. I had a few beers. Nothing major.
Was there a bit of weed in you?
No, maybe.
Was there a bit of powder?
No.
No pills?
No, not in the Basque country. That wasn't.
Oh, really?
They were amphetamine and they were trips. Ganja drink. So anyway, but the boys had acid, strawberries.
Yeah. Had you had much before?
Oh yeah, down in Fela and place like that. And Navan when acid was on the go.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't
know. What did it do to you?
It bends the mind. It bends everything.
In what way?
In a giddy.
Hector Gielgud in mind bender.
As
style bender. Let's say it makes everything very fluid and very colourful and everything is perceptive.
Is it like magic mushrooms?
Stronger, way stronger. Anyway, I don't know what happened. We got into a car at about 12 o'clock in the day. I think it was the next day.
How long does the trip last? I can't
remember, but all I know is we got into the car to go for a drive.
And you're all mind-bended.
And we drove out of Bilbao.
I've told nobody this. I bet you. Right, I bet you. That's what he's saying happened. But I bet you the four that were sitting on the couch.
They were in the bath.
So, all right, rewind it. I'd say I went in there around 12 o'clock. I can't remember. I know that at 6 o'clock in the morning, around that time, these boys might still be alive. I've never, ever seen them since I've left Bilbao or heard from them. He had a sort of an old fucking Datsun Toyota type car, Richard and John, and they were fucking lunatics. But we all got into the car to go for a spin to the mountains outside Bilbao. And
Great idea. It
was like a fucking spaceship. And I don't know where we were on Bilbao. Once you leave the city, there's sort of windy roads. You know those roads with barriers and sort
of
hilly areas. So we came round a bend and I was warped out of my head. And all of a sudden, the car flipped over. We hit something and the car flipped over and then back onto its. And it was a split second. I think he fell asleep at the wheel.
What do you mean flipped over and flipped back?
Yeah, he hit something and we flipped over and it rolled over and back up onto this thing in the space of a fucking split second, right? And all I remember is I crawled out of the car, I got out of the car, and they all got out of the car, and the car was a complete write-off at the front. And we were in fucking shock. It was 7 o'clock in the morning and we just started running across fields, down to the thing, and we just legged it. And for about 5 or 6 or 7 miles, we walked till we got to a little rural Basque village. And we went in at a cafe con leche, and we started to decompress and say, what the fuck happened? But we deserted the car as quickly as possible on this road about 10 miles outside Bilbao. And 11 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock then, we finally got a bus to take us back into the city. But it happened in a blink of an eye. Fucking told anyone about it. Ever. Because it just fucking happened. I think he fell asleep at the wheel.
But did it actually bring you round from your trip then?
Oh, it did, yeah, yeah. But we were fairly high now. High as in nothing was real. Do you know what I mean? Nothing is real. Nothing is real.
Except for back.
On those things. But and you know, it was one of those things I put to the back of my head. It was just a fucking mad thing. And even in the weeks after, when I'd see them, we just wouldn't discuss it or nothing. But it just happened in the blink of an eye. And the thing that always stuck with me was going round a bend or, you know, drink driving or fucking being out of it when you're driving. It just that split second. And that split second, touch wood, it's never happened since that or never. I've never been in a crash or anything like that. But I just remembered being in the middle of the Basque country on a Sunday morning and all of a sudden, it was just boom, it happened. And then we deserted the car. What did we do? We didn't ring the local Air China or the local police. We just fucking skedaddled as quickly as we could and left the car there. And there was no fingerprints. I don't know. There was nothing going to follow us or find us. We just got away. We got away from the scene as quickly as possible. And I maintain that when you see something like that on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning around the country, when you see cars going, what the fuck is that car doing there?
Yeah.
What is, we've all seen it.
Yes.
What is that car? Fucking how the fuck is that car there?
Yeah.
That's what's happening there. These manic, mad
well, probably not anymore.
Experiences. Not as much as before, but I can tell you something. You know, getting in behind the wheel, it does happen, but cars are deserted in the most fucking strange areas.
And say the guards came to the car, what would they have found?
They would have found hash and ganja and a bit of that, but like it wasn't.
What did the car look like?
It was an old Spanish fucking. It was an Lada, old Toyota, whatever. But it wasn't the car. The car was an old wreck of a car, but it was just that it was across the middle of the road. It was a complete write-off and there was fucking glass everywhere. And what were we going to do? Stand there until they came?
You weren't in
the
your head.
Immediate impact is to get away from the scene of the crime. And that's what I did. I got fucking out of there as quickly as possible. And it was surreal. All I can say was absolutely.
And when did the tripping stop?
I got fairly fucking quick after that.
Really? The adrenaline.
That's what I was wondering, yeah.
The adrenaline stopped the trip.
Yeah. I was in the back and we're having a great time. The music was on. We're going for a spin. It was a Sunday morning. Why we get into the car, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to say. Why did we get into the car? And that's the fucking thing.
But you're out of it. Like, you don't, you're you weren't thinking straight.
But somebody goes, I can drive. I'll drive. And let's go for a spin.
And everyone, yeah,
let's go. How many of us, I don't know if you've ever got into a car at the wrong time. I've had mates as well. And fucking,
how many of you were in the car?
Three of us. Two boys in the front, me in the back. Richard and John, these two guys from England.
They sound like the lads from Famous Five.
And they've been over in Bilbao for years.
I keep doing that.
Fucking like it's a strange one, isn't it? But, wow. Yeah.
It frightens you, doesn't it?
Oh, fucking frighten you. Jesus Christ. I was in my 20s. Fucking, it was just the abrupt end to the
trip.
We went on a trip and it fairly came to an abrupt end.
But isn't it amazing that the car ended up on its fucking four wheels again?
Yeah, yeah.
That's phenomenal. I wonder you didn't keep going.
What you would have done?
I just remember getting to a village miles away and just trying to blend in.
and fucking, you know, it's bong. You can hear the Bilbao, the local church bong.
And you all hola, ¿qué tal?
¿Cómo estás? And three fucking blend in. Two fucking famous five English boys going, hello, hola. And then there's me coming behind. And we tried to go into the local pub for a coffee. Tres cafés con leches, por favor. And going, police have put out a massive hunt for three Caucasian English or two Irish and one. Dos irlandeses y dos chicos irlandeses. Un coche carretera, un choque en la carretera B91 en la carretera Bilbao a Arroreta. If anybody has seen any of the... Like, we left
but
the car in the middle of the road.
But was the car
in the middle
like,
of the road.
Did the car not belong to somebody? Like, did they ever bring back the car?
It was their car.
Yeah, but did somebody ever return the car, we, say, or impound it or ring them or...
We just had to get away from there as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I understand.
So
that.
No, it was like what am I going to do? Let's get the fuck away from here. And we fucking
But nobody ever brought it back.
Nobody ever brought it back. No, we don't want anyone to know about it.
I know, but did they contact them and say like, "Oh, your car is in the middle of the road, and
no,
it gets stolen"?
No, no, there was no papers or nothing. It was gone.
No papers.
I just wanted to get away from it as quickly as possible because we had survived it.
But it would look so obvious that you were like, if someone could see a crash car on the road and then three fellas running through a field, they would have connected the two.
Of course, it's not your fucking normal, especially running through the Basque Country on a Sunday morning, and we were obviously still
running through the field.
Galloping like gazelles because we were still tripping. We were like, wow, come on. And I remember we went for hours and hours and hours, and finally we got to a Basque village in the middle of nowhere, as far away as we could. And then we just sat down. And what do you say to each other? What do you fucking say
that was
to
some
each
crackling.
Other? Well, are you teaching English in the morning? What time's your first class? Like, it was like, it was just one of those surreal fucking bizarre, things to happen.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Wouldn't wish on anybody.
Did your life flash before your eyes when the car was...
It's
really?
Like, Tommy, you know when you just fall asleep behind the wheel, not that you want it happening, but you've all got that fucking absolute... Do you know what I mean? That into the pit of the stomach.
Yeah. That feeling of... Jesus, I don't know who was driving the car for the past minute and a half, but it wasn't me.
I don't remember
oh,
that part
fuck.
Of the journey, yeah.
Oh, my God. Or it's almost like missing a step on the stairs. You know that? Oh, what the? Do you know that?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
See.
So there you go. And it was just bizarre. Bizarrely fucking insane.
Hurt at all?
No, there was no injuries. There was no injuries. There was no blood. There was nothing. It was almost like we were like molded jelly. We were like Nadia Comaneci, a Russian fucking acrobatic gymnast in there. We just We went with the sway of the car, but we just got out of there as quickly as possible. The boys, they didn't argue. Richard was a blondie lad. He was
Richard
more.
And John Richard like was more Cooper, like, Richard
and they were
and
so posh with their accents. But John was a real, you know, he could have starred in the Doors movie. That guy, John, he was like a fucking lad. If Jim Morrison walked into a party in Malibu Beach in 1974, they'd be walking into a house and he'd look around, he'd see a lad over by the Buddha statue sitting on the couch. He's your go-to man. And that's what John looked like.
Right, okay.
Lads who'd gone to Bilbao to teach English
yeah.
maybe 15 years before that, spoke perfect Spanish.
How old are they?
They were older than me. They were a good 10 years older than me. But they had blended in. They had made their contacts. They had all what they needed. They loved partying and they had all their fucking, you know, and that was their life. Maybe they're still over there. But I didn't really go around to the flat too
Probably
much.
Probably living in Ipswich now. He's the treasurer of the local Conservative Party.
I didn't go around to the flat too much after that. And we didn't discuss it too much after that. But there was no word going, what about the con el coche or whatever happened to the car? There was nothing. It was just the wrong decision, wrong thing to do. And
never visited again.
Fucking hell, man. Madness. Was that, what was the...
Can you imagine, say, in 10 years' time... And you're sitting with the two boys. And in 10 years' time, the boys would be what? 29 and 37. 29 and 27. Right? You're sitting with the two boys. And for some reason, you get this figure on you to tell that story to them. I'll tell you the story, lads. One time I was in Bilbao and I took acid. And you went on and you finished the whole story. The car tumbles over. And then there's a pause. And then the young fella says... Should we have all done that, Dad?
You'd absolutely die if you thought they did that.
Well, getting into the car was the fucking wrong decision there.
But at least just
I'll never forget the type of road it was, because there were those crash barriers on the right-hand side and there was a bit of a slip down to the other side and it was a lovely summer's morning. But we were, once you leave Bilbao, you go into the rural sort of Tour de France type, you know, that type area. Mm-hmm. And we were going around.
Vuelta a España.
Yeah, la Vuelta a España. And then... Oh man, fucking hell. When I'm recounting that now, it's something that was buried deep, deep in my... Is there a compartment in your brain that you put these things and that you can lock with a sort of a 7679, or do you go a little hash? Do you know those little safety boxes in a hotel? I think we all have them compartment boxes.
Yeah, but it's because you got such a fright. Or
yeah, I don't want. I think so. Of course,
it was a brilliant evening.
It was a brilliant evening. I was buzzing. I was floating. I was fucking having a great time. One of the boys said, "Let's go for a spin. It's a lovely morning, Sunday morning. Let's get out into the countryside." That's all we were doing. But we were driving under the influence.
Yeah, you probably don't talk about it. It's probably like you're almost like, oh shit, I can't believe it happened, and. I was okay and all of that. Like, it's probably stuff like that you kind of put away and you don't.
Because stuff like that happens in a split fucking second. Yeah. It's a split second that it happens when the crash happened. But it's the journey to get to that go on for hours and hours and hours and hours. But the night came to an abrupt end. And it's fucking, any night when you're partying can come to an abrupt end really quickly. But it was just, that was it. Why did I put it that far back in my head?
It was so much of a fright that you weren't able to laugh about it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's nothing funny about it. Maybe when we got to the town and we're sitting at a tortilla, dos, tres café con leche. Estáis locales? Are you local, lads?
Yeah. No, I suppose
we're just passing
away,
through. And then I was there. You'd be paranoid that fucking, all you wanted was a cop to come around the thing going, go to that Roger Charlie Cuatro dos. Hay dos irlandés, uno en irlandés.
What would they have charged you with?
They could have found, I don't know. We just escaped. We escaped from the scene of the crime. Was it a crime?
It was an accident.
An accident. How many other... I can guarantee you, some people listen to this podcast, how many other people have abandoned the vehicle because of the night that was had? They've just abandoned it on the side of the road. You see it. You do see it.
Yeah, but not now. Like, things you used to do in the 90s and stuff, that was different. Like, there was more... He got away with more then. Not now. It's not. It's different.
Abandoning a car... and running across a field is a very Irish thing at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I thought you said high risk.
It's a very Irish thing to have done on the bat on a
pure community game.
It's a pure Irish thing.
Okay, here are the finalists for the abandoned the car and the running across the field.
How many fields can you get through?
We've got John in the Talbot Solara. They have to be all old cars.
It has to be an old.
We have the Toyota Vences, yeah. And here's Mark, the champion of Mayo. And here we go, and they're all skedaddling across the field. Have you ever got into a car at the wrong time? Listen, as a father of fucking two young men, I'm there going, boys, seatbelts. I heard Shane the other day as the boys were out playing pool. It was about 12:30, 1 o'clock. He was just coming in to the back door and he just went around the corner. They were running off, getting into a car. And he shouted at them, seatbelts, boys, seatbelts. And I could see him out the window coming in.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
And I just said, fucking good lad. Good lad, if I don't give a fuck where yous are, get them fucking seatbelts on.
Anyway,
maybe we have that little compartment at the back of the head that nobody goes into except the person who owns it.
But yeah, that's a funny one because you've nothing to be ashamed of in that. What's the danger of that memory? Is that you think, Jesus, I came close to dying or something? Is that I was so out of it that I wasn't in control and anything could have happened?
Yeah,
bad nearly
happened. Of course,
happened.
Did I do the wrong thing?
But you weren't... What wrong thing did you do?
Yeah, did we do the wrong thing?
You didn't do anything wrong?
No.
Did you really? You just out of it? No, but I... Car.
Yeah.
Did you mean...
And when you are out of it, things happen.
Yes.
And...
Thank God.
I'll have to rely on you for that.
Oh, man. Well, I fucking tell you now, I wouldn't be able to Google or Facebook where those boys are.
It's funny that in your memory of it, the taking the acid isn't the wrong thing.
Yeah. It was just that moment of getting into the car.
No, because that's not a wrong thing, Tommy. That was a choice I made and that was a great choice. Yeah. It was fucking brilliant. Yeah, it was a colourful, eclectic, psychedelic night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the music was blasting and we were above in there. Their apartment was up high. It was up these steps, typical old Basque house, and up to the top floor was this. And it was like walking into a real... You knew it was a party house.
You did well to get down the stairs.
You knew it was a party house. You knew well these guys, they'd have the lava lamps on, they'd have the salt lamps on, they'd have the tunes on, and you knew it was a party house and they were always up for divvement. And we all know people like that. We've all walked into houses like that. But to say it at 7 in the morning, it's always a good idea. Whether some lad goes, Mom, we'll go down to the local petrol station or whatever we have to do, we'll go for, I'll drive, I'm grand, I'll drive, come on. Anyway, esto es mi cuenta de Bilbao. El año 94.
Do you remember these boys' surnames? Is there any?
No.
Why, what do you want their full details?
I don't remember the surnames even. But I have two pictures in my head.
Yeah.
They were teaching English for a long time. Richard was real, almost Oxford-like English from around Cambridgeshire. But lads that are probably a really highly intelligent lad, has a degree and everything, had a degree, but went to Spain to teach English for a year and never returned.
Oh, lovely.
And had blended in. John, as I said, was the guy at the Jim Morrison party.
But nice stuff for some people to find their place.
Absolutely.
It would have been reared in a damp, grey England, grey and green and maybe nice during the summer, but a kind of a temperate, soft climate. And for them to arrive then in Bilbao and go, no, I fucking belong here. In the heat with my shirt off with a couple of fucking tabs of acid and
smoking good quality hash.
Sangria and
Is acid like paper?
Yeah.
How's it made?
It's dipped.
Oh, that's what makes
it. So you'd have an academy.
So it is just paper. Edible paper.
You'd have a page. Page like that.
Oh, fuck. No wonder you're running through the magazines or the papers.
And on that page you could have 500 squares with perforated sides and they would dip it into the...
Like stamps.
The good stuff. And then you would tear off a sheet of 10.
And did you eat it?
There's yours.
Is it easily made, I wonder?
I don't know, but it was way back in
the day. What kind of acid is it dipped in?
It's dipped...
All types.
Psychedelic acid. It's dipped in a stimulant.
You eat the paper?
A psychosyllabin.
Or do you just suck it and throw out the paper?
No, you just eat it. It's tiny little paper, like a tiny bit of paper. But this, it was...
And how long does it take for effect?
An hour, less, depends how ready you are for it. Acid.
Boom.
The Americans, California in the 60s, that's where they really came to the fore in the 70s. And they had great names for trips back then. Penny farthings, windows, the doors.
The Hinges.
The Hinges. They were all sort of psychedelic names, like big opening
petals.
Flower and all that. Then the Europeans and the Dutch got hold of acid and they started making Smurfs.
Industrial amounts.
Strawberries, pineapples, mad mangoes, anything, mad mouses, mouses, Shiraz, princes of powers.
What was the point of putting names on them? Blue raspberries,
blue creams, cream cheeses. Huh?
Were they all different flavours? Why did they have
different strengths. Super Mario Brothers, Super Smurfs. So that's the way it developed.
Crystal Swing.
Tommy Fleming was the fucking one that would really. If you got Tommy Fleming.
Fuck me.
Do you remember
what
that?
What would happen to you if you took him?
If you took two
Tommy Flemings, there was a picture of Tommy Fleming in a 007 little
thing. You'd see his face everywhere.
A Tommy Fleming.
If you mixed a Tommy Fleming with a Motorhead, you would be in the psychiatric imbalance low for the guts of the year.
It was cheap back then. It was really cheap back then. And it was done, you know. There was a time in Ireland when acid and trips were in every country town in Ireland.
No, not in every country town.
Yes.
You may be sure of it, that in the country towns where you have fellas who are a tiny bit rurally eccentric, you may be sure that they were getting their hands on them as well, for sure.
Absolutely. Acid was a massive...
That was something you could make at home yourself, could you? Acid?
No. This had come from... Most of the acid would originate from Holland. Amsterdam...
You wouldn't get addicted to acid, would you? Was it just a party thing?
No, it's more of a
You couldn't get addicted to it. It could change your mental furniture.
So ayahuasca, the rise of ayahuasca now and everybody and magic mushrooms and microdosing and all that is coming from the same area as acid. It's altering the brain state, that psychosilibin, and altering...
And did it ever alter anyone's brain and leave it the way it was?
Too much acid. Too much acid would turn a dog.
Oh, yeah.
Turn a dog into a cat.
Too much acid would bend a man and bend a woman. Too much acid wouldn't give you a real perception on life. It's not the type of thing you could do on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
You'd be fucked.
You'd be fried.
You'd be astral.
Astral.
You'd be fairly looking into the dream catcher and diving into the dream catcher above the bed.
You'd have loads of ideas, but you'd have no way of communicating them.
Yeah.
Because your mouth wouldn't work
anymore. You can often...
You're trying to speak out through your eyes.
Tommy will vouch for this. You can spot somebody who's taken way too much acid.
Yeah. How? What do they look like? Would their eyes be wide?
Because they'd be wearing a dungarees with none underneath during the winter.
And Birkenstocks.
Yes.
Is that all? But what about their face?
And they'd be starting maybe...
They'd be frothing at the mouth.
They'd invite you around to a wall to watch a film.
It's just that hippie, you know, people who've taken...
Ennis Diamond, I'd say, is dripping. I'd say Ennis Diamond
Would people still be taking acid? Is it still a thing?
Ennis Diamond is the fucking... Ennis Diamond
is the Amsterdam of fucking Ireland.
Fuck me.
Where?
Ennis Diamond.
My aunt was a nun down there. That's a pure holy place when you stop.
Psychist Diamond, that corner.
Psychist Diamond.
Every renegade and outlaw and mental hygienist... In the country.
Glastonbury now.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
If you now, so
Glastonbury's only on for a week and it's not even the 12 months of the year.
If you went to Glastonbury
unplugged.
And went back up to the healing fields, back up in the hill, there are people there.
The healing fields in Glastonbury have the same air code as Ennis Diamond.
They send them there to detox.
The healing fields in Glastonbury where the wigwams are, right? There are people up there back in the healing fields.
How's the people of wigwams in Ennis Diamond? Wigwam 1, Wigwam 2, Wigwam 3.
H91, Wigwam 5. There are people up in the healing fields that never come down to the main stage.
There's kids in Junior Ripford's fucking... who only know Om writing.
The smell of patchouli oil off him for his communion. Patchouli oil.
The child is getting
So look at Glastonbury would be a big if you wanted to see, and I'm sure at Glastonbury this year there's hunters, there's a city, that's where you'd see the real acid heads, the real. There's a lot, it's a hippie-ish thing as well, but I think it's through mushrooms and all that, it might be coming back on the radar of altering your brain to make you feel more content and happy and smile.
Well, if the drugs unit of like An Gord the Síochána want to find out anything about drugs, they should listen to this bloody podcast.
The guards in Ennis Diamond were Birkenstocks.
They've got one of those. Hey, community guard. Could you imagine a community guard?
Any
out of it every day.
Pa, Pather the guard at Sideburns and a tash and a pair of sandals.
Pather is there with a big load of skins sitting on the front. At the, there's the vegetable thing is on Saturday morning. There's Pat the local guard skinning up. Any nice mangoes in today, Ruth? Yeah, lovely. With lovely courgettes. Where do I get it? The Elijah.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's magnificent conversation, and we hope you enjoyed it. God bless and good luck.
Serves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.